So this particular passage in Mark links our identity as people of God, our identity as people who are part of a covenant in a new reign under God. So under this new reign of the kingdom of God, we're called to be people in the world who live in the world in a different way, in a new way. So what does Jesus mean here by covenant? And again, most of us aren't very familiar with covenants. We don't use covenants a lot in our culture, maybe except for marriage. And sometimes there are property covenants that are happening. Pastor Mark talked about this in his sermon 2 weeks ago. He said that covenants are meant to be permanent, and they're usually formed by symbolic acts, such as wedding rings. Covenants come out of the ancient Near East, and they involve two parties making promises to one another. Sometimes they were peace treaties, and often they were monarchs and their people making a covenant together and saying what they promised to one another. So instead of signatures, these ancient Near Eastern covenants were usually sealed with blood and with a shared meal. So often a sacrificial animal would be cut in half. One half would be on this side, the other half would be on the other side, and the parties who formed the covenant would walk through between the two animals, between the blood, and then they'd sit down and eat the meat as a meal together, and that would form the covenant between them. So God made several covenants with his people, the people of Israel, and the first covenant he made was with Abraham. And God made some promises to Abraham. He promised that he'd give him land. He promised that he'd give him descendants, and he promised him that all the people of the world would be blessed through him. And this covenant was reset in Genesis 15, and you can read there that it was actually, again, sealed with the blood of animals, that the two animals were on either side, and then there was a torch, a mysterious torch that passed between the two animals. God later made a covenant with Abraham's descendants in the time of Moses. So let's read this together. So you're going to hear about blood and promises in this passage. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice. Everything the Lord has said, we will do, the people's promise. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls. The other half he splashed on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." Okay, so you can hear the blood and the promises in that passage. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." So each year at the Passover, the people of Israel would remember this covenant. They'd remember the promises. They still celebrate this. They'd remember God's acts of salvation in Egypt and the promises that they'd made to God in the Mosaic covenant. And they'd renew their covenant with God every year at Passover. So when it comes to Jesus, here he is at Passover. He sits down with his disciples. In Luke 22:20, Jesus says this. He says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." So Jesus says it right here in the middle of the Passover meal. In the middle of the celebration of the old covenant, he says, "This is a new covenant." And he proclaims it with his 12 disciples who are replacing the 12 tribes of Israel, and are representing the 12 and replacing them. Now, this isn't the first time we hear about the new covenant. In the Old Testament, the prophets began to talk about it hundreds of years before Jesus. The promise was that this new covenant would contain all of the elements of the old covenants, but it would be different because it would be delivered from the inside of a person rather than imposed from the outside. So prophets like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and even Moses alluded to this new covenant. In Jeremiah 31:31-34, Jeremiah prophesies this. He says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So this covenant, this new covenant, is clearly better than the old covenant. Not because there was a problem with God and God's promises, God was always faithful. But because this new covenant, instead of being written on tablets of stone, like the Ten Commandments were written, it's going to be written on people's minds and their hearts. This new covenant will be written on people's hearts by the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 36, Ezekiel writes, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So as Jesus sat around the table at Passover, at the time of his final supper, he was inaugurating this new covenant. It was a covenant that wasn't ratified by the blood of bulls and goats, as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, but with his own blood, with the blood of Jesus. This new covenant is sealed by Jesus' death. And this new covenant contains the promise found in Jeremiah, You will be my people, and I will be your God. And it's declared, this covenant is declared at the shared meal as the disciples sat with Jesus. In this new covenant, Jesus takes on the responsibility of caring for his people and demonstrates this by being willing to die for them. The new covenant is a pledge of God's faithfulness to us. It's a perpetual peace treaty between God and us, that God comes to us with peace. God comes to us with love and not with judgment. That's what this new covenant is saying. So when we come to the Lord's Supper, what we're doing is coming to this place of the new covenant, where the Spirit comes and testifies with our hearts that God's promises are true, God's promises are good, God's promises are right. The Holy Spirit confirms to us that God intends to bring us peace. And this new covenant is not dependent on human loyalty. It's not dependent on human obedience. It's secured with the blood of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. So we don't come to the table weighing whether we've been good enough to participate in the meal, because Jesus has secured our participation. So when we come to this table, again, as Pastor Mark said, it's not a memorial for someone who died. It's not a time of shame where we examine all the things we've done wrong in the week. It's not a time to remember how bad we were because Jesus had to die for us. When we come to this table, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of the new covenant. Once we were not God's people, and now we are God's people. We've been brought near to God by the blood of Jesus. This is good news. In the church, there are two symbolic acts that help us to participate in the new covenant. The first one is baptism, and that's the initiation rite. And the second is the Lord's Supper, which is a renewal of that covenant. So baptism, as I said, is a symbolic act of initiation into the covenant. At baptism, we enter in, we make our vows to Jesus, our promises to Jesus, as we receive his promises to us. Some of us were baptized in this church, and when we were baptized here, we were asked to acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we were also asked to express our desire to follow Jesus from this day forward. How many of you were baptized here? So those were your promises. You promised that Jesus was your Lord and Savior, and you were going to follow him for the rest of your life. Others of us, including myself, were baptized in other churches. We might have made slightly different vows, but however and wherever we were baptized, we vowed to live our lives in a new way. We vowed to establish our identity as followers of Jesus, to be participants in God's kingdom, God's kingdom of peace and justice. We vowed to walk in a new way in our lives. That's what we did at baptism. We committed to a process of transformation where our behaviors and our attitudes would be changed by the Spirit. We would no longer trust in money, but we'd trust in Jesus. We'd no longer worry, but we'd be free to be generous. We would walk in integrity in our relationships, in our sexuality, in our work. We would speak with integrity with our words. We'd honor and dignify and affirm other people. These are the things we vowed and committed to as we were baptized. And I think all of us knew that as we made these promises that we would fail at times. That we would fail in our commitments to Jesus, and we'd need to come back and we need to confess and we need to recommit our lives to Jesus. So it's a bit like vows at a wedding. Again, when you get married, you promise to love and commit to someone in a way you've never done before. For instance, Tony and I were married when we were in our 20s, and at that time I kind of thought it would be possible to fulfill my wedding commitments. I thought, this will be a great thing. But as time went on, I realized how hard it was, particularly when we had 4 small children. And these vows became very helpful to me, because if I ever felt like giving up on our marriage, I would remember what I promised, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, until death do us part. And I'd recommit myself to staying, not only just staying in the marriage, but staying in a marriage where I loved the person I was with, even if it was hard to do. And so for me, these vows are really important. And again, these vows we make at our baptism are really important for us in continuing our walk with Jesus. And so the Lord's table becomes an amazing gift to us. It's a place where we come back and remember God's covenant vows to us. We remember that God has promised to be our God, and we have promised to be one of God's people. And God will be our God no matter what, no matter how we fail, no matter how we sin. And as people, we will sin, we will falter. But as we come back to the table, we remember that God has made this new covenant. It's not dependent on us, it's dependent on the blood of Jesus and the power of the Spirit. And so as we participate in the Lord's table, what Jesus has done moves from a past event to a present moment where we actually experience this invitation, where it becomes a moment of grace for us that we receive by faith. And as we gather at the table, we reestablish our identity as people of God, people whose identity is apart from the world and the world's values. And we also, as we come to the table, recognize the boundaries of the covenant and how we entered it. That we entered it with a willingness to be obedient to God. We entered it with a willingness to live under God's rule and reign. We move from renewing our vows to remembering them. We move from remembering them to renewing them and reconfirming them. We remember that we promised to live as God's holy people, that our ethics would be shaped by the kingdom of God, that we would be people on mission, inviting others to join us in this marvelous covenant. Gordon Smith, in his book Holy Meal, says that as we renew our promises, we trust in the Spirit to strengthen us so that we can live out these promises. That as we come to the table, it's a time for moral reordering of our lives. We realign our lives, we recommit our lives to following God. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. So at this table we eat and we drink, we renew the covenant with God. God's promises to us are reconfirmed, and we have to remember that it's not our actions that keep this covenant, it's God's faithfulness that does. And so Christ is present in this meal, Christ's covenantal presence through his indwelling Spirit. And so this meal then becomes a place of joy, a place of thanksgiving, a place of communion with God. He is our God and we are his people. We celebrate Jesus' victory over death, and we proclaim our faith in God's ability to bring his kingdom of peace and justice to rule. And so from this table, we go out. We go out to join with God as God is establishing his reign and rule in this world. We go out to participate with God in establishing his kingdom of peace and justice. A kingdom where the evil one, the false prince of the world, will be defeated and where freedom will reign. And so we are, who are part of this faith community, are called in this in-between time to live as if the reign of Christ was fully realized, to live our lives as a foretaste to what the kingdom of heaven will be like when the evil powers are defeated and Jesus returns. But the only way we can do this is if our heart and our lives are transformed by the Spirit. We can't do this on our own, and we need to resolve in our wills to live daily by the power of the Spirit, to live out our baptismal vows day by day. And then through the power of the Spirit, and as the truth of the Scriptures renew our minds, we will be transformed and renewed. So the Lord's Supper becomes part of this process. It becomes the time where we come back and remember our vows. And each week as we take of the Lord's Supper, we're renewed, and we're able to go out and do what God has called us to do in this city and around the world. And as we come to the table, again, we're to be encouraged, to be propelled into mission. This meal also helps us identify with those who are poor and suffering, as Jesus identified with those who are poor and suffering, knowing that the kingdom is going to bring peace and freedom and justice. This meal also commends us to recommit to stand against exploitation and injustice. So if celebrating the Lord's Supper is a recommitment of our baptismal vows, some of you may be wondering, I haven't been baptized, am I welcome at this meal? And maybe you're thinking, I don't even remember my baptismal vows, how can I recommit to them? Or maybe I'm not living up to my baptismal vows, so am I welcome at this table? Who is welcome at this table? Do we have to be baptized? Do we have to have an adequate amount of holiness to participate? Let's see if we do at the end. Let's have a test to see who can come forward. No, I want to assure you, this is the Lord's table. This is not the table of North Shore Alliance Church. This is the table of Jesus, and as Pastor Mark talked about last week, Jesus ate with the sinners of his day. He ate with the prostituted. He ate with the tax collectors. And in eating them, he was making a statement of openness that all are welcome at Jesus' table. And so if you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to be baptized. This is a great time to commit and to make vows to Jesus. If you haven't decided to follow Jesus, I encourage you to make that decision. As you come forward, in essence, you are saying, I want to eat this meal and take part in the Lord's Supper because I want God to be my God and I want to be one of God's people. I want to follow Jesus and have my life transformed by Jesus. That's what it means to come forward and participate. If there's sin in your life and you recognize it, as you come forward, come to the table and confess and recommit to following Jesus. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Invite the Spirit to fill you and transform you. This table is a table where we are transformed. So this morning, before we come forward to participate in the Lord's Supper, I'm going to give everyone an opportunity to make or renew the kind of vows someone makes at baptism. So whether you're baptized here or at another place, I encourage you to join in. If you haven't been baptized yet, I wanted to let you know that coming up, we've got two baptisms scheduled. The next one is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, at the beginning of April. The following one is at John Lawson Park, the beginning of July. And so you can talk to any pastor about getting baptized, or you can email Pastor Dave, and we'll tell you when our next baptismal class is. We encourage you to be baptized. And again, if you're not sure you're ready to follow Jesus, you can participate in whatever parts of these vows that we're going to make that you feel comfortable. So I want to invite everyone to stand. We're going to put the vows on the screen. I'm going to read the first line, and then you can follow by reading the bold. Again, follow in what you feel like you can participate in. Don't feel compelled to participate in any of them. So today, we hear of the work of God informing us as the people of God. We are here because Jesus Christ has found us, and by the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we've discovered new life in God. The love of God has become real for us. The call of Christ has beckoned us, and the Spirit is renewing us. So do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
This is the God in whom I trust. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
I do.
He is redeeming and calling your name. Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Jesus?
I do. Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life.
Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying His word, showing His love, living in peace in this church, and serving Jesus Christ in the world?
With the Spirit's help, I will follow Jesus in the church and the world.
Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Thank you. You can be seated. So as we come to the table this morning, we come as ones who've recommitted to our vows of baptism. We've come as ones who are committing to be part of God's covenant people. We are God's people, and He is our God. I'm going to read Mark 14, 22 to 25 again. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then He took a cup, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," He said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it in the new kingdom." So as we participate this morning, we participate as ones who have been invited into this new and amazing covenant. God, we thank You for this invitation. We thank You for the promises that You've made to us. We thank You that You do not require us to be perfect. You do not require us to be able to perfectly obey. You just require us to be open to You and to desire to follow You, to become part of this covenant. And so we ask for those here who do not yet know You, that You will make Yourself real to them, that You will give them a desire for You to be their God. We ask for those here who are struggling with sin, that Your Spirit will reassure them of the forgiveness in Jesus. And as we come forward again, we ask that You will fill us with Your Spirit, that You will propel us into the mission of establishing Your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you haven't participated in the Lord's Supper with us, I'm just going to explain how we do it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come now, and they will be playing a song. Here they are. Okay, they will start by just playing some music. It's a time of reflection. And when the music finishes and they begin to sing, I want to ask the communion service to come forward. People will start coming forward. We'll start with the back rows. We'll come forward first, and then the succeeding rows will come forward. I want to let you know that the prayer team will be available this morning. They'll be standing at the back and on the main floor. There'll be two different people. And you're welcome to go and have prayer for anything. Particularly, we want to let you know that they're available to pray for healing, for physical healing, for emotional healing. But they can pray for anything that you'd like prayer for. So again, after the music finishes, the servers will come forward, and we'll start with people from the back.